Wake up, everybody. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we tend to cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, and they are ignoring a huge piece of the Hunter Biden pardon that happened last night on President Biden is boarding a plane to fly to Angola. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you do. You drop a pardon, you get on a plane, there's no press coverage at all, and then you fly to Angola to avoid the fallout. But we're going to dive deep into what this Hunter Biden pardon actually means and why the date set all the way back to 2014. We're going to deep dive all of that today on the show.
We're also going to look at new migrant numbers showing just how many illegal criminals are in New York City, not just migrants that are mooching off of taxpayer dollars, but also known criminals. These are rapists. These are murderers. These are all manner
of
bad dudes who are living off the dole in New York City alone in a small area. We're also going to talk to a new redacted guest. Steve Friend is going to join us. He's the FBI whistleblower. We've spoken about him before. He is the one who blew the whistle on violating the civil rights of January 6th defendants. He's going to tell us what he thinks of, because he's been talking about FBI reform for years now. So he's going to tell us exactly what he thinks of Kash Patel running the FBI, because most people, I think, over the last few days, think that this is a pretty punk rock
move. Not everyone. You have warmongers like John Bolton, of course, Yosemite Sam, who's come out and says this is a terrible move.
Sure.
You know.
Well, we're going to talk about who's afraid and who's not. I was explaining to my son over the weekend what it means that it's punk rock. I don't think people use that anymore.
No.
It's like, what would you think that punk rock means? It's like stick it to the man type. Right?
Yeah, you're a rebel.
When I say punk.
It's anti-authoritarian, right?
It's exactly that.
That's the idea, is that you're standing up to authoritarianism.
So let us know how you feel about that.
Yeah, we got a lot of news to get to today. So welcome in. Let us know where you're joining us from. Thank you for allowing us to take a week off and spend time with the family. Hope you guys had a wonderful week as well. If you're in the United States, spending time with your family over the Thanksgiving break and, dealing with all of the pumpkin pie and turkey. And all the fixins.
We dealt with it.
We did our first deep fried turkey this year. So that was a lot of fun.
It was adventurous.
It was delicious. All right, let's get to the news, shall we? Well, the Hunter Biden pardon has nothing to do with Hunter Biden. It has everything to do with Joe Biden. Pay attention to this. In the bio labs and the money laundering scheme that's been run through Ukraine. If you're wondering why Hunter Biden was pardoned in the way that he was, then you need to follow the money right to Ukraine. So the timing on this, the dates on this. So here's the actual pardon. To all those whom these presents shall come, greeting, be it known to this that this day I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States, pursuant to my powers under the Constitution, granted here unto Robert Hunter Biden a full and unconditional pardon. Unconditional. But what are the dates? Look at the date there specifically. During the period from January 1st to 2014 through December 1st, which is yesterday, 2024. Okay, so that means that
it
expires yesterday.
Well, he better not do anything today forward.
Right, yeah. So today going forward, right?
He can be prosecuted for anything he does today.
Stick to your feces,
he better keep his nose clean.
His nose clean and his hookers out of his room and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Get it? Nose?
But it's the 2014 date that stands out. Okay,
yes.
Why is this so important? Well, this date is so important because it all ties back to Ukraine and the bioweapons labs there and the dirty money laundering scheme that was set up where money is being funneled to Joe. So again, it's not about Hunter. And of course, it's not about him and his like tax scheme and paying back taxes and not registering a firearm properly. Like, that's of course
really
the conviction.
Nobody expected him to get a prison sentence anyway. He probably was going to get some type of parole or sweetheart deal. He already had that on the table. So it feels more like, I mean, we covered when his sweetheart deal was presented, which would not have had any jail time, but the judge noticed it came with a blanket pardon and she refused it, forcing the Justice Department to go back to litigate this again. So now that feels purposeful, because had he taken that sweetheart deal, it may not apply to anyone in and around the corruption that had to do with Ukraine.
So War Clandestine posted this, and I'm going to paint a whole picture here, tie all of this together on this show. So Joe pardoned Hunter for all crimes he might be involved in starting on January 1st, 2014. Why did he pick that date? And I'm glad he caught on to this, because this was the thing that stood out to me immediately. Because he says, because 2014 is when the CIA and the State Department took over Ukraine. 2014 is when Hunter Biden's bio company Metabiota began looking for coronaviruses in Ukraine. Joe is not just covering the drug and gun possession charges. Joe is running cover for all of Hunter's criminality in Ukraine, which is really Joe's criminality in Ukraine. Yes, he hits it exactly. This is not just a pardon for Hunter, he says. This is a pardon for Joe. Bingo. You got it right. Now,
because his addiction predates 2014. That has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with those dates, when really it's drug possession crimes that nailed him for this. So go ahead.
Does Metabiota ring a bell? Well, it should, because if you've been watching our show for any length of time, we've done whole deep dives on Metabiota. I've covered it extensively. Ukraine, the dirty money that, of course, Hunter Biden was involved with. Now, as we recently reported on Redacted, back in 2014, a firm called Metabiota, which specializes in detecting, tracking, and analyzing potential disease outbreaks, signed an $18.4 million contract as a subcontractor for Black and Veatch in Georgia and Ukraine, both of those countries. Metabiota was started with the help from President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and his investment from Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners, which he founded alongside John Kerry's stepson in 2009. But they really didn't get up and cranking until 2014. So that date is very specific. It is very specific and on purpose. Then, surprisingly, the top Ukrainian prosecutor at the time started looking into this shady connection between Hunter Biden and these bio labs in Ukraine, which, by the way, we were told didn't exist and was a conspiracy theory, mm-hmm. right? Until Victoria Nuland was forced to admit under oath in front of the Senate that, in fact, they do exist. But it was, you're a conspiracy theorist. If you talked about biolabs, they labeled us a conspiracy theorist for talking about them. So F you. Yeah, they're true. So when then Vice President Biden caught wind of this, that Ukraine was looking into these shady connections, like Ukraine, which is one of the most corrupt countries in the world, was actually, the prosecutor was looking into these shady connections with Hunter Biden, these biolabs, Metabiota, all of this. Well, that's when Vice President at the time under Obama caught wind of this, and he asked to have that prosecutor fired specifically. We know this because he bragged about it right in front of the cameras. Remember this?
I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Wow. How'd that happen?
Which is what Trump was impeached for.
Right.
Which is exactly what Trump was impeached for withholding funds in order to ask for a personal political favor, which was asking Zelensky to look into this very thing. So it was corruption into, come on.
Sabrina,
has a shit ending, you guys.
Sabrina points out in our chat here, says 11-year blanket immunity. 11-year yeah. blanket immunity. That's what this is, unconditionally. And so when they started looking into these documents, when all of this was coming to light, then, of course, Ukrainian dictator Zelensky ordered the destruction of all state documents associated with Metabiota, according to the expose. That was February of last year. Leaked documents showed that Zelensky ordered the destruction of all documents related to this Hunter Biden connection. And then wouldn't you know it, overnight, by the way, just today, the Biden administration has ordered another multi-billion dollar handout to Ukraine. The Biden administration is forcing another, $70 million to Ukraine. Go ahead, Philip.
I'm just having flashbacks of that video we showed outside the records department in Ukraine, where they were just had like burning piles of documents, mm-hmm. Burning them like right out on the lawn.
Well, what's funny about that video, good memory, is that NBC News was live at the time, and they were saying, the buildings behind us here in Kiev were attacked by Russian forces, and you can see the fires burning. It wasn't an attack from Russia. You could literally see the workers walking out of the building, dumping documents into a fire. It had nothing to do with Russia attacking a building. It had everything to do with them burning documents. So, yeah.
I'm just so curious because Nancy Pelosi and AOC all told us that this was corruption when Trump did it because they thought he was asking for a favor. Well, Biden received the favor and they don't seem to care. They don't care about this obvious corruption.
Of course.
They only care about Ukraine when there's an asking of a favor, right? It's wild when we go back to the actual impeachment trials of President Trump asking Zelensky to look into this, which clearly was corrupt, and he got impeached for it, but the original corrupt act was never punished.
Right, exactly. Well, this is also why now you have liberals calling for Joe Biden to pardon himself now and give himself unconditional immunity before he leaves office. He's done it for his son. MSNBC, and not just this clip, but multiple Democrats are now saying, you know what, Joe Biden, the Trump administration is probably going to come after you for all this illegality. You might want to give yourself blanket unconditional immunity through your own pardon. Watch.
Grant of clemency. I hope that President Biden will also issue preemptive pardons to all of those people threatened by the injustice of what will become the Department of Justice in the Trump administration. That, of course, includes Jack Smith and all of his staff, many Department of Justice lawyers. It includes President Biden himself, although we don't know that anyone can legally pardon themselves. He will need a pardon because he is going to be harassed and charged for no crimes whatsoever. Donald Trump has promised that.
Right.
Anthony, to pick up on that.
Give yourself unconditional pardoning of yourself.
So we have evidence of corruption inside the Department of Justice and persecuting political opponents. But she's saying that hypothetically, the Justice Department will become unjust in her mind.
Right, it's fine now.
She's a psychic medium. She can see into the future.
It's okay.
She's
now
telling us we need pardons because it is about to become corrupt.
Yeah, it's fine now, apparently. Well, it's totally fine.
He could also step down, resign the presidency, make Kamala president for a month. She can pardon him, and then that way they don't have to get into the legality of pardoning himself. Just use the end around.
Well, yeah, he
don't
can
give
do
him ideas,
the
end
around. He can do the back door. See, the thing is with this, he's not doing this himself. Right. Whoever wrote this document up and handed it to him to sign, this isn't Joe Biden sitting down one night thinking he's going to pardon his son. This is a deep state organization that's put this in place in order to protect the lie, the deep corruption and the money laundering scheme that was funneled through Ukraine. Remember when FTX started collapsing mm-hmm. and all of those Democrats started running out of the woodwork like rats on a sinking ship because of that massive multi-billion-dollar money laundering scheme that's been run through Ukraine? It's all being exposed. So, of course, Biden had nothing to do with this. Other people drew up this paper and just like, here, sign this.
Yes, but he personally stood to be protected and he had to have the wherewithal. So even though we say he doesn't know what he's doing, there's some part of him or the people who protect him who knew what he was doing.
Well, it's funny about it. If you kind of go back in history just a little bit, all of what this had just happened over the past 24 hours was supposed to be stopped because Congress, Adam Schiff, Democrats were so worried about this with President Trump that they introduced legislation to make sure that something like this wouldn't happen. You wouldn't be able to grant a pardon to a family member in the event that there was corruption and and you're president of the United States. Adam Schiff, take it away.
So the president's pardon of Scooter Libby, Congressman, has inspired you to propose new legislation. What exactly would it do?
What it would do is say that in the event the president pardons anyone in an investigation in which the president is a witness, a subject, or the target, those investigative files will all be turned over to the Congress. The Congress ought to know whether the president is using the pardon power to obstruct justice. The American people have a right to know. I think it is clearly constitutional. It doesn't prohibit him from granting a pardon, even a pardon he shouldn't grant. But it does say that we will be able to at least find out whether the president is using this power to shield himself from liability.
It offers transparency at the very least.
Yeah, Don Lemon. It offers transparency at the very least, doesn't it? Whoopi Goldberg today on The View just a few short moments ago says, you know, it has nothing to do. I mean, the reason this is okay is because Hunter Biden is a drug addict, but President Trump, you know, is clear of mind. So that's the distinction here. This pardon is okay for a drug addict. Watch.
I respect it as a parent. I understand why he would do it.
Yeah.
But I wonder to understand why lie about it for so long.
I'd stop calling it a lie.
Okay, why repeatedly say you're not going to and you do? And secondarily, for the part of this country, half of it that doesn't support Biden, doesn't know him personally, doesn't get to have phone calls, and they're just looking at a system that seems like it only benefits the people who are in power.
I'm gonna say,
what precedent does that set?
Well, here's what it says. It's a precedent for all of us to open our eyes because we've elected someone who is in a similar situation, who didn't have a drug problem, who knew what he was doing, who clearly was stood and said, I can do this. And he did it. So I think for many, many reasons, this is very different than any other situation that we have ever dealt with.
That's bullshit. Okay. And she knows it. Okay. Also, I would like to follow that up so badly. I would like to be at that table and say, okay, what about all of the people who went to prison because of the 1994 crime bill that Joe Biden authored for the exact same charges that your son now will walk away with? Because those people also had addiction. Those people also had sad stories of addiction. Those people also had parents with broken hearts. Does it only matter? Should you only get off if your last name is Biden, Whoopi?
Yeah, of course, because it's
copious numbers of black men.
No protection.
I don't want to race grift, but really, he put away so many black men for gun possession after drug crimes, after a drug conviction.
Right.
And so this is the same. So, okay, only wealthy white guys with the last name
of
Biden
course.
Should get off?
Only Hunter Biden. Yeah, and this, and there's been plenty of Democrats. Jared Polis, of course, governor of Colorado, who's likely going to run for president, mark my words. He came out against this.
Yeah.
And the reason I think he came out against this is because he's going to be running for president in the next go around. He said this is very disappointing I get the family connection. He said, I'm sympathetic to the family connection, but this sets a dangerous precedent. I'm deeply disappointed for future presidents of the United States.
Yeah.
Himself running for president. Anyway, Corinne Jean-Pierre, you know, there was no White House press briefing today in the traditional sense because they're on an airplane. So they're on Air Force One flying to Angola. And Corinne, I was waiting for Corinne Jean-Pierre to have to answer these questions and battle against this. And so reporters on the aircraft recording these, recording it, audio only, listen to Corinne Jean-Pierre have to defend this this pardoning. Watch.
Is he saying his own Justice Department is broken, Corinne?
He believes in the Justice Department. He believes that
he believes in the Justice Department?
This is his words. He said this. This is the president saying this.
He just said it's infected with politics.
I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making. I kept my word, even as I have watched my son being selectively an unfair prosecutor.
So how deep is the rot? How many selective prosecutions are there at the DOJ?
What I can speak to is this particular case, which is Hunter Biden, who has the last name of the president.
So the selective prosecution, you love the question, right? Which is, so the Department of Justice, we stand by the Department of Justice, but then in this particular situation, there's selective prosecution. So he asked, how deep is the rot in the Department of Justice? There's no rot. It's perfect. Go ahead, Philip.
Well, in what way is staying out of it? Where does pardoning the person that's being accused fall into the staying out of it? Because it seems to me that's getting awfully involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I feel personally robbed that there was not video of that.
I know.
We were looking for that. It was like watching The View on the day after the election.
There's only audio of
that's
you on a plane.
That's not right. I don't like that. Somebody, yeah. Please, in the press pool, when we get more video of her, you need to ask that question again because I need to watch her body language.
By the way, you know Corinne Jean-Pierre knew this was probably coming on a Sunday. She's like enjoying her Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Then she was like, I'm calling in sick
and
tomorrow.
Then she's like, oh my God, this is what my Monday is going to look like. I have to answer this garbage now?
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, the New York Post reports that there are nearly 58,000 illegal migrants who are convicted or facing criminal charges roaming New York City free and clear, and close to 670,000 across the country. So the Post did their own investigation. Here's the headline if you want to seek it out for yourself. This comports with the numbers that were confirmed by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Recall this document we looked at back in September. It showed that the agency knows about 662,000 non-citizens with criminal histories, but has detained only 15,000. We went over this in detail because this letter lists them by crime. They have, it's a buffet, really. Rapists, arsonists, burglars, gang members, car thieves, armed robbery, all kinds of stuff. It's all kinds of them. But when you actually look at 15,000 in relationship to 662,000 that they know about, they have, it's not like they're really actively catching them. They have sort of accidentally caught them because we've seen in other documents that ICE is not really trying to catch migrants or criminals at all. These are 662,000 that accidentally fell into their laps. They only have 15,000 in custody. That's a 2% detainment record. If you commit a crime as an illegal migrant, you have a 98% chance of not being detained. Here was how they broke down those numbers, and we broke them down in detail, so seek that episode out in September. So according to the Post, that means that 8% of all of these criminals are in New York City alone. That is quite a lot of criminals in a 302 square mile area. Now, no wonder residents there have complained. Councilman Robert Holden, he's a moderate Democrat from Queens. He said, these numbers make it clear what everyone but our elected officials already know. Sanctuary city laws are endangering New Yorkers by shielding criminals instead of protecting law-abiding citizens. And as for everyone who says, well, most migrants are not criminals, that's true. That number bears out. That means 7.7% of them are criminals and over 90% of them are not. That's still a really high rate. And the way that ICE is supposed to work is you apply to become a citizen, you present a clean background check, you continue to check in and make sure that your background check is clean. And if you commit crimes, you are supposed to be deported. That's how the system is supposed to work. So almost 8% of migrants being rapists and thieves and criminals and gangs, right? That's not okay. That means our system's not working. So New York politicians are sort of responding with tough talk, like Kathy Hochul's like, well, if I know about criminals, I'm going to deport them. But you do. They're there. They're on the books,
right.
And she hasn't. And New Yorkers are still paying taxes to support migrants. Over the weekend, this was reported that the city had committed $220 million to rent the Roosevelt Hotel, which is a Manhattan landmark owned by the government of Pakistan. The hotel houses over 1,200 rooms and is being used to accommodate undocumented migrants for 3 years under a lease. So the deal will take U.S. tax dollars and transfer it to the government of Pakistan to house illegal migrants at a rate of $220 million. So here is Tom Homan discussing this on Fox News.
The Democratic mayor in New York, Eric Adams, a former cop, is ready to work with you.
I hope so, because I've just been notified he wants to sit down and meet with me. I'm willing to meet with him. I'm willing to meet with anybody to help make their community safer. Because, again, prioritization out of the gate is public safety threats. Work with us on that. It makes your community safer. It keeps my officers safe. It keeps the community safe. Let's work together and get this done.
When's that meeting happen?
I haven't responded yet, but I'll respond this week.
Okay, we'll be in touch with you and him.
Wow. Eric Adams. He seems like changed a leaf lately.
Eric Adams has been saying this, though. He has been motivated to do this since midsummer at least. So he might be the only one, but he needs law enforcement to do it. He clearly cannot do it by himself. He needs support and law enforcement. So we'll see if that happens. But in the meantime, New York City residents have to just chill out, knowing that there's 60,000 criminals on their street that are illegal that shouldn't be there. They can't deal with, you know, local criminals. They've got a brand new problem. Well, and as, I'm sorry, let me just finish this point. As the police commissioner, who has been dethroned since, said, these are very sophisticated migrant gangs. He called them ghost criminals, that the city has a hard time even tracking them.
Well, 58,000 illegal immigrants in New York City, criminals that are rapists and murderers, et cetera, that's one thing. There's 607, there's always this like New York centricity about the country, you know, like I know it's like focus on New York City and that's very important. But in your other number there, that's 670,000 illegals across the United States, almost a total of 700,000. So there's 58,000 in New York City, 670,000 across the United States.
Yeah.
Rapists, murderers, known felons that the Biden administration has just walking, just wide open, opened their doors to.
Yeah.
So here's a question for you. Why would the worst, and this ties directly to this story because this is a big piece of it, why would the worst DHS secretary in American history need immunity if he agrees to resign? Like, will Alejandro Mayorkas resign and then seek immunity before he does so? Well, the deep state scumbag is running scared right now across Washington, D.C., because they know what's coming. Criminal charges against DHS head Mayorkas. Yes, breaking. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is reportedly negotiating his exit, wants to leave immune from any potential investigations from the Trump administration.
To which I say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He testified just a few weeks ago on Congress about reports of these undocumented children, they call them unaccompanied minors, over 300,000 of them have been lost. And when a congressman asked him, do you recall these instances of young minors, unaccompanied minors, being dropped off at strip clubs as their addresses, listing men who were not their relatives, being dropped off in homes of young men who were not relatives of them, where these young girls had no private bathroom or bedroom? And he said, I read the report, but I don't recall. So those instances, dropping unaccompanied minors off at strip clubs, he read about that and he forgot it. That's not a memorable story that you, in a report about your own government's handling of immigrants.
And not even your own government, your own department's
handling. Your own departments, thank you.
He's running a criminal organization that is facilitated by Mayorkas. He, at the very top of this, has been facilitating and carrying this out, flying into the Darien Gap in Panama, as friend of the show Michael Yon was there on the ground and watched him land. He knows exactly what's happening and funneling these illegal immigrants into the United States, and he knows exactly what's happening to these children, because it's all tied together with these non-governmental organizations, these NGOs. And now we're getting word from the Trump administration that in fact they are going to be targeting and going after these NGOs specifically. They know that by going after these NGOs, where it will lead, criminal charges all the way to the top, all the way up to Alejandro Mayorkas and other members of, Javier Becerra, and those individuals who are handing out billions of dollars to these non-governmental organizations. So he wants blanket immunity. He wants immunity before he leaves office so that he can be protected. The problem is that immunity wouldn't cover you, like, for your own job. You get immunity from the government. You already get immunity shielded because you're doing your job. But the problem is, if you're not doing your job, then it rises to the level of illegality and criminality, and immunity wouldn't protect you. You already get immunity as a government employee in the cabinet. Mm-hmm. You can't be sued already. He can't be charged. He can be protected in that way. But the moment that criminality and illegality enter into this, immunity is out the window under your protection. So I'm wondering what he's looking for here. Like, is he asking the president to
do another
preemptive pardon in the same way that Hunter Biden? Mm-hmm. And this is exactly, by the way, what Keith Olbermann is calling for, and other liberals right now are calling for this. Like, hey, President Biden, you should just issue hundreds of pardons right now. And even Keith Olbermann said, issue 10 million pardons for everyone that works in the executive branch. Issue 10 million of them. What that says is, oh, so there's 10 million
corrupt people.
Corrupt people carrying out criminality.
I have an idea.
In the Biden administration, what's your idea?
My idea is take Blinken pardons preemptively and move to Canada. Do that. Like, you, fine, you can get the pardon, but you have to leave so you can never do this to us again. Sorry, Canadians. I know we have a lot of Canadian viewers. You probably don't like that.
Friend of the show, David Crayden, up there in Ottawa. Like, no, don't send them here.
Send them, I don't mean Canada. Send them to, I don't know, like, let's just
send them to Ukraine.
Send them to Epstein Island.
Send them to Epstein Island, yes. Ukraine. Ukraine so loves corruption.
If
send
you
them
take
there.
A pardon, you have to get the F out. Fine. Then, I mean, I don't want to see this happen. I want
Zelensky could make it, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they have to leave.
Solutions, KEG, super chat here. Solutions, demand tangible fundamental procedural changes, not more 4D chess that equate to your loss. Stop asking for saviors and gossiping. Solve it together.
Siberia is another great,
I think Ukraine. So anyway, the reason this is all happening is because we now know from Tom Holman, who is the new border czar, that in fact the Biden administration is going to go after these non-governmental organizations and also going to look at the United Nations, because the United Nations works part and parcel with these NGOs to funnel all of this, to, you know, to put all of these hundreds of thousands of children into sex trafficking operations in the United States, all run by Alejandro Mayorkas. Watch.
I tell you what, the Trump team coming to town, we're going to take control January 20th, and people are going to be held accountable. We're going to be very transparent. We're going to get behind. What did the United Nations have to do with this open border crisis? Who in the administration, the Biden administration, opened the doors on this humanitarian crisis? What NGOs were involved in this? We're going to be very transparent to American people, and we're going to tell them the truth what happened on this border. Again, by design, and we're going to let the American people know who was involved, why, and hold them accountable.
Yeah, and prosecutions, criminal charges. That's why Alejandro Mayorkas is looking for blanket immunity right now.
I tell you what, when the S hits the fan, I'm just going to follow around Tom Holman, like just hide behind him like this.
Because
that
a good
guy does
PDGAF. Yeah, he's like, I'm coming for you guys. I'm
all
coming
right.
for you.
Well, Jaguar is trending because the company will show off new cars in Miami tonight after weeks of pissing people off with their new ad campaign. This is the new branding campaign that you may have seen already. These images of the car were leaked, and they are really something, you guys. It looks like something my children created in Roblox. So anybody want to respond to this? I especially love this steering wheel that's
it seems right with their brand new branding
oval.
Campaign. It seems absolutely spot on.
Does that seem safe to you to have? Is there another car that has an oval steering wheel like this?
I mean,
I guess some of them do.
Yeah, like Formula One racing cars, like, you know, just to be hip and trendy, I guess.
Yeah, so what do you think? You guys, does that endear you to Jaguar? This, now recall, these are leaks, so we don't know if this is the real car.
And these are leaked concept drives.
Yes.
They're actual photos, right?
So we're not really sure if they come from Jaguar, but they do match the branding campaign that launched just a few weeks ago. Do you recall this? It was launched about 2 weeks ago. And we'll see. Now, recall, the king drives a Jaguar. Is he going to want to be seen in company like this?
It looks like a Mary Kay car. Like his pink Mary Kay car.
I guess so. Those were typically Cadillacs.
Yeah.
But I suppose, like, this is not what Mary Kay looks like. Since they released this new campaign and the new concept of a car, their stock has been tanking. Take a look at this. It was up over $1,000 in the beginning of the year, but now it's below $800. Now, they must have had their new ad campaign written while they thought that Kamala Harris was going to win, because the Biden administration, I think we're going to look back on as a dystopian version of reality where men could breastfeed children and, I hate to use the term woke, but it was like woke ads, but now they're in over their skis when you see so many companies are trying to revert to a world that maybe looks more like the world that we all live in, where you don't have to surmise who's the boyfriend, who's the dad, who's part of what family. Here is the full ad campaign without the music, because I don't want to get a copyright strike. Now, what's worse? Okay, I'll just let you watch. Again, this is not like the King's Jaguar. Or the king, the queen's jaguar. They're saying, you know, copy nothing. These are the types. Delete ordinary. That person looks like Brienne of Tarth. And I guess she's going to fight a bear with a sledgehammer. That's what they're trying to. They think that you want in on this, that you see this group of people and you're like, I wish I was hanging out with them.
Yeah. I wish wearing I had a sledgehammer and roughly shin guards or whatever the heck, you know.
What's worse is that when it was released, Jaguar was actually telling people on X, you don't get it. You're going to see. Here's Elon Musk saying, do you even sell cars? And he's like, yeah, come to Miami. Come see. And somebody said, go woke and go broke. And they said, go hard. Like, you just don't get it. This other person says, are you guys even a car company or something else? And they say, soon you'll see things our way.
Oh, okay.
This person says, that sounds like a threat. Right. Here's another one. Surely this is a joke. And they're like, it's a pivotal moment. So they're telling people, you just don't get it. Here's another one that's funny. Sorry, my file won't open. Where's the car? The story is unfolding. I thought you guys made car. We do. All will be revealed.
Oh, you're teasing us.
This is awful. Quite the opposite. This is a renaissance. This feels very Blade Runner to me. Doesn't it feel like that to you? You just don't get it.
It feels like Jaguar really wishes they were Wendy's social media.
Because
Wendy has that on lock. Have you ever seen
Oh, Wendy's, their social media is funny.
They're freak.
Yeah.
It's
awesome. Give an example.
Yeah. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but they don't pull any punches. It's pretty funny. You should look it up. It's well worth the read.
Okay, I will.
Because you know they're just writing canned lines. Like when people say this, how ugly it is, or this and that, you've got to respond like, it's a renaissance. It will be revealed.
You don't
just
get
you
it
wait.
Yet.
You don't understand.
You will come over to our weird side. And in fact, weird is the way Car Dealer Magazine described it when they went to the launch, not of the car, but of the branding. They called it a hallucinogenic sci-fi movie. And they said it was rather bizarre. They said the launch felt like a drunken dream, but the CEO said, oh no, we're actually serious about this. He literally said, we have not been sniffing the white stuff, as if we meant it to be this way. We're not on cocaine. He said it was meant to make people uncomfortable. They also nonsensically changed the logo with two lowercase letters. Take a look at this. The two A's are lowercase, so it's like Jaguar. It's strange. Jaguar also says that they're going to close about 80% of their showrooms. The ones that stay open will be pieces of art. More so than car stores. So it's leaving many existing Jaguar customers wondering, where are we going to get our car service then? If you're going to close. So the 20% that stay open will be art galleries. Who services Jaguar then now? And the CEO was asked who would buy these cars. He said, well, it's for the younger, more affluent urban livers. They'll be cash rich and time poor. What young urban people are cash rich? Because, you know, I believe in the most recent election, that's one of the reasons young people voted against the Democrats, is because there are not a lot of young rich people. So I'm confused.
Like the 10 rich kids that live in Miami Beach.
Right.
Like, is that it?
Trust fund kids?
Yeah.
I think I broke the code, though, because if you look at this, I think I know what Jaguar's really up to. It's so that in their showrooms, when the Just Stop Oil kids show up and throw orange paint on everything, nobody will notice. It'll just blend right into the art installation.
There you go.
Now, is that bean soup that's been thrown on this Jaguar? That's very renaissance-y.
No, it's supposed to look like that.
It's very renaissance.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Jaguar is cool to, like, my father, you know, likes this brand. It's a legacy brand. Is this what they're doing to bring it into the aspirational youth? I don't see that happening. The Daily Mail reports that this is the man behind it. He, surprise, was a BLM supporter who bragged about starting over 15 DEI groups, such as Pride and Women in Engineering and Neurodiversity Matters at Jaguar. Okay, it makes sense that this would be the project of someone who may be out of touch a little bit or a lot. But DEI or not, this ad says nothing about the car or the kind of person who would drive it, again, unless you're Brienne of Tarth. I guess.
Or what's her name? She looks at the you know who I'm thinking of, the actress that's like short blonde hair like that.
Jane Lynch?
No. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I just
help
see
me out.
Annie Lennox. That's what I thought. It's like
she looks like Annie Lennox.
The Eurythmics. Yeah.
Yeah. She looks like Annie Lennox. I can't think of the actress. She was in, I think she's, I don't know. She's in a big famous sci-fi film, and I can't think of it off the top of my head.
It's not FN21.
That's who you're thinking of. No.
Yeah. Tilda Swinton.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Yeah. Everyone in the chat got it. Tilda Swinton. That's who she looks like.
All right. Well, we have more news to get to. Coming up, we're going to talk to Steve Friend. He's the FBI whistleblower who has been shouting about reform inside the FBI. So we're going to get his take on Kash Patel as the head of the FBI.
Also got another FBI whistleblower. It's an FBI whistleblower show today because part two of the Suspendables, because Steve Friend is a suspendable, so is Kyle Serafin is a suspendable. And we're going to talk to how do you rebuild this rotted FBI from the ground up? We're going to talk about that. But first...
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at NetSuite by Oracle, because they have one unified business management suite that gives you one source of truth, giving you the visibility and control you need to make quick decisions. Because, of course, if you're running your business, you don't want to have disparate software that can't talk to each other, that can't paint a picture of where you've been and predict where you're going to go. And with one business management suite, you have real-time insights and forecasting. You're peering into the future with actionable data. So when you're closing the books in just days and not weeks, then you don't spend time looking backwards, and you spend more time on what's going next. In fact, Clayton and I went over our November books because we're able to quickly turn them with this software, and we are able to see what happened in November, even though we're only on December 2nd, because it allows us to say, what did we do that month? What worked? What didn't? What do we need to cut spending on? What do we need to increase spending on? What's the picture? What's the story? Morning glory. That's why you use NetSuite. So you can find out for yourself at netsuite.com/redacted. You can download also the CFO's guide to AI and machine learning at netsuite.com/redacted. So that will help you to not only explore the software for yourself, but also get this free guide. One more time, you can download for free the CFO's guide to AI and machine learning at netsuite.com/redacted. This is a free guide for you. One more time, netsuite.com/redacted. Steve Friend is an FBI whistleblower who tried to warn us all about the prosecution of January 6 defendants, and he was punished for that. He tells the story in his book, True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to Suspended FBI Whistleblower. He joins us today to discuss reform inside the FBI, which seems to be forthcoming with the appointment of Kash Patel as the new leader of the FBI. Thank you, sir, so much for joining us. First time redacted guest.
Oh, thank you very much for having me today. It's an honor.
Yes, the pleasure is all mine. So why don't you give us maybe your knee-jerk reaction to the appointment of Kash Patel and why you think the FBI is in such bad need of reform?
Well, Kash Patel is the man for the moment at this point, in my humble opinion. He is really the only chance we have of avoiding a full dissolution, a demolition of the agency, shattering it to 1,000 pieces and scattering it to the winds. And I think he brings a unique perspective that even people who are advocating for him are overlooking. And first and foremost, he was a public defender at a local and federal level, which I think gives him a very unique perspective. Historically, the appointments that go into the FBI directorship are people who are career prosecutors. Kash actually has seen both sides of that, and I think he appreciates the justice system and how people can be really wrung through it and make the process the punishment. And that's really ultimately what was the genesis of my coming forward with my concerns, that the FBI makes the process the punishment. It's gotten away from its prime directive, and that being the process. Victory is in following the process. You gather the facts and present them, and then the jury has its say. Guilty or innocent, it doesn't matter. As long as you follow the process, that's the prime directive of the government. But now the FBI wants the outcome. They're putting their thumb, if not their entire arm, on the scale of justice, and that's just not in keeping with the oath of office that I swore back in 2014. So as far as reforms go, Kash, is in my communications with him, has been extremely amenable to suggestions, particularly as they pertained to the intelligence apparatus, the intelligence collection that's gone on. And then to me specifically, the integrated program management protocols that the FBI uses, which is a quota system. The number of cases that they have to open and arrests that they have to have and the tools that they have to use, which turns law enforcement on its head because you elect the sheriff to bring crime down, but because of its quota system, the FBI is incentivized to bring crime up, and they're looking at the American people as targets of opportunity rather than the citizens who they're supposed to be protecting against fraud and force.
One of the things you had spoken out against was the prosecution of January 6 defendants. And you were saying, if I violate their civil rights because I just want these guys, because I'm told to want them, then I'm going to blow up my whole case. We're not actually using due process. Can you tell me more about that and what you saw?
Well, before I was reassigned off of child pornography cases to work on the January 6 cases, I had worked on Indian reservations for about 7 years. So I opened about 200 cases as an FBI agent, which is a huge volume. I got a lot of repetitions, and I know the pitfalls that you run into when you're bringing a case forward to prosecution. You want to be really buttoned up. And it was immediately apparent to me that specifically to the January 6 cases, the FBI departed from its practices for how it manages cases. And it was doing it to manipulate the crime statistics, the terrorist statistics, to create the false impression that terrorists are all around the country. And look, away from the politics of it, if there is a righteous prosecution that needs to happen, we need to be buttoned up. And the FBI, in my experience, was not following those protocols, was not handing that information over to the defense as they are supposed to do in following with due process. If I departed from rules for evidence tape, let's say, and I used the wrong color, I would have to document that and hand it over to the defense so that they could ask me, well, Agent Friend, you messed up on the color of the evidence tape. Did you potentially mess up somewhere else? That is all part of the process. And the FBI didn't do that. So I voiced that concern. And obviously, the FBI disagreed with my sentiments on that. Look, I swore my oath. I was serious about it. I got training by going to the Holocaust Memorial and going to the MLK Memorial and learning that just following orders is never appropriate. So I brought those concerns forward. And on top of that, the final concern that I had was the safety issue. The FBI was sending SWAT teams to arrest individuals who had been interviewed, who had expressed to them that they would cooperate fully. And then because of the unique nature that they were approaching January 6th, they weren't recontacted for a year and a half. And then it was decided we're sending a SWAT team to arrest someone with no expectation that we were coming to his door. And to me, being a guy who did SWAT for 5 years, that was an unnecessary use of that tool.
Now, one thing you said in your 2023 congressional testimony was that mission creep within national security has refocused counterterrorism towards political opponents. So counterterrorism, we normally think of as something that looks abroad, but now it's refocused on Americans and American citizens. And that's something that you warned about. So this seems indicative of what you just said, is that now there's this narrative that terrorists are domestic, right? Is that an appropriate read?
This is the evolution of the mission creep post 9/11. So 9/11 happens, mm-hmm. Military goes overseas to break things, kill people, and hurt feelings, and they do a great job. The FBI is the sentry on the wall to look inward, but there weren't a lot of terrorist actors there. So they started as a bureaucracy to look for work, to create work for themselves. It's a self-licking ice cream cone. So they evolved into homegrown violent extremism, which were Muslim Americans or recent immigrants who, if looking historically back, many of them were entrapped. And then that evolved into domestic violent extremism. And that was the label that so many of the moms at school board meetings or people who flew a Gadsden flag outside their house were getting from the FBI. And now we have the new evolution, which is the agave, the anti-government, anti-authority violent extremist. And that's been around for a couple of years. It hasn't really gotten into the public lexicon. But the FBI authored a strategic intelligence assessment a couple of years ago, and they said that an agave is someone who has a perception of government overreach or negligence. And that's all that's required for them to look at you as a potential domestic terrorist. So now they essentially, there's 56 guys who signed a Declaration of Independence that I think would fall in the crosshairs of a domestic terrorist investigation. And the FBI is basically setting up its own protocols, its own definitions, so that it can go after people for their First Amendment protected activity.
Right. Now, one of the things I'm noticing online is how key investigators from the Mueller investigation seem very nervous about the appointment of Kash Patel, specifically Andrew Weissman, who was one of the lead prosecutors in the Mueller investigation, said that Kash Patel does not have the experience and gravitas to lead the government, the preeminent federal agency in America with 30,000 plus employees, to keep us safe from terrorists and child predators. Well, that's very interesting, because you just said that he does, in fact, have the experience and the gravitas. And so do you think, because Kash Patel was so integral in what's called Objective Medusa, which was an effort to uncover collusion against President Trump by the Obama White House, the Clinton campaign, the Department of Justice, and the FBI, that there are people who are going to be very nervous for cooperating with that?
Well, I mean, let's just set this aside. Argument is that Kash Patel, because he uncovered corruption at the hands of the federal government and the intelligence apparatus against a presidential candidate and eventually a president himself, that makes him unqualified or a political actor. When you have to go back to, I don't know, James Comey, who sent agents to go and entrap Mike Flynn. James Comey, who sent undercover agents to use a honey trap in the Trump campaign, off the books investigation. That's a political act. You had his successor, Andy McCabe, who headed up the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, which went after Donald Trump. And then his successor, Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray, which has seen the FBI spying on moms at school board meetings or investigating people who bought the Bible. This is a politicized agency, and Kash Patel's track record and his history is that he's rooted out corruption and called it out for what it is. I think that that makes him eminently qualified to take the reins here.
Okay. Thank you for that. I think it's just very interesting because of his participation in Objective Medusa, which I don't know if you've realized this, but if you Google it, it will tell you about a Canadian mission and not at all about this counterterrorism mission that was headed by Devin Nunes and Kash Patel. That's interesting, don't you think? So people seem to want to disqualify that because it turned out favorable for the narrative that President Trump had warned us about.
Fact that the FBI is now colluding with big tech under Christopher Wray's leadership is supporting the fact that you can't find anything about Operation Medusa. So you should probably read Plot Against the President by Lee Smith or Cash's book, Government Gangsters.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely right. Thank you for that. So before I get you out of here, because you are well-versed in corruption inside the FBI and the Justice Department, would you like to give me some kind of reaction to the Hunter Biden pardon?
I'm going to go be a little bit contrarian on this one. I know there's a lot of outrage and a lot of calls about hypocrisy, which is probably the most Republican things that Republicans do. But that doesn't impact the communists. The communists is nothing but scar tissue and being called a hypocrite. It was always going to happen. I think that this is an opportunity for the mutually assured destruction that we have to have here, where there needs to be lawfare against the communists in this country, very much like they put President Trump through. And there needs to be preemptive pardons. I think President Trump should preemptively pardon every single one of his political nominees so that they can operate as they're being called to do, to be disruptive without fear of when a pharaoh who comes in and knows not Joseph, when the other side gets power, that they're not going to face similar lawfare. So now the precedent's been set, the toothpaste is out of the tube, let's use this to our advantage.
Now, having worked on January 6th defendants, it seems something Mike Benz, former State Department and cybersecurity expert, said is that it seems now, okay, January 6th pardons would be a no-brainer since Biden has used the pardon such that maybe this will happen for January 6th. What do you think of that?
We need blanket pardons across the board. And I realize that that involves people who were unsavory characters who engage in activity that was illegal. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm back to follow the process. The FBI departed from the process and they should forfeit the outcomes here. And the example that I always point to is Bill Cosby. That didn't involve the FBI, but it involved law enforcement. Bill Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted numerous women. And then in behind closed doors had conversations with prosecutors where they assured him that nothing he said would be used against him. He took them at their word, and then they violated that. And as a result, Bill Cosby walked free, and those women didn't see justice. And that was the fault of the government. The government's prime directive is to follow the process, and they did not do so for January 6th.
Okay. Thank you so much for your opinion about this. I really appreciate it. You can find, again, Steve Friend's book called True Blue, My Journey from Beat Cop to Suspended FBI Whistleblower. It's really very enlightening, so seek it out. Thank you for coming on Redacted. Please come back anytime.
Thank you very much.
That's so interesting, right? We all could be an extremist for being anti-government. I mean, so you better love your government or else you're a terrorist under the Biden administration. That's real. That's
amazing.
That's been happening to us. It's just so strange that the Democrats didn't win after doing that to us for 4 years.
I just love this sort of, I don't know, there's like a cognitive dissonance among, I follow a lot of Democrats like on Twitter just because I love watching, I just love seeing what they have to say. It's just kind of funny to me. And it just, it's almost like they live in a bizarro world.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, now Trump's going to weaponize the DOJ under Kash Patel when he gets in there. Where are you living? That's happening right now. Are you blind to this? I don't understand what you're looking at right now. Anyway.
Well, we have more news to get to, and we're going to take your super chats, but first.
Well, yeah, coming up here on the show, we do have another FBI whistleblower joining us. Kyle Serafin is going to be joining us. I want to talk about the rot, the deep rot inside of the Department of Justice, specifically at the FBI, and how, you know, all he's been detailing this for a long time, of course, about the illegal FISA warrants against Americans, going into Catholic prayer meetings, school board meetings, all of this, and targeting Americans. But earlier in the show, we talked about these 670,000 illegal immigrants that are felons, murderers, rapists, who we now know are walking the streets of America, 58,000 of them in New York City alone. And that's going to be the real test for the FBI. Once these borders close up and you stop targeting Americans, going after these illegals. So I want to talk to him about that as well. But first, are you looking to cut costs and improve your business's bottom line? Well, the best business operators have turned to Ramp to help them stop wasteful spending and improve their financing operations. If you've never heard of Ramp, you need to pay attention, because Ramp is a corporate card and a spend management software designed to help you save time and money and put money back in your pocket. So if you have multiple employees, then you get these cards, you know exactly how to track everything they're doing and monitor all of it so that there's not wasteful spending happening. Spending policies are built into the card, so you can prevent wasteful spending before it even happens. You can customize spending limits, restrictions, so employees are empowered to purchase what your business needs. And then you can have peace of mind. Ramp plays bad cop so you don't have to. Detecting policy violations, chasing missing documentation, requesting repayment, locking cards, furthers non-compliant employees that maybe spend too much on lunches, you know, that maybe they're not supposed to. Boom. The card is locked. You'll never have to chase down a receipt again, and all your employees will no longer spend hours on expense reports. It's all there inside of Ramp. Oh my God, I used to hate my expense reports when I worked at Fox News. Holy cow, it would take me hours to go through those stinking expense reports. They're the worst. Anyway, get $250 right now when you join Ramp. Just go to ramp.com/redacted. Ramp.com/redacted. That's ramp.com/redacted. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. Well, when the news broke of Kash Patel being the new FBI director under the new Trump administration, I wanted to check in on former FBI agents who called out the corruption, the rot inside of the agency, FBI whistleblowers who we had here on the show and whom we hold in such high regard. One of those individuals is Kyle Serafin, former FBI whistleblower, recovering FBI agent, podcast host. And as soon as this news broke, I jumped on to X to see what Kyle was saying. And said, "We're back, baby. We're back. Welcome to the party, Kash Patel." And seemed like there was some excitement there, and perhaps sunny skies are back again. So we wanted to ask Kyle to join us here on the show. Kyle, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me on, Clayton. I'm excited.
So you're excited. This weekend, this news broke. I mean, I think we were all collectively who've been following this story and know about the corruption inside the agency and this man's work, we're all sort of collectively excited. What was your sort of immediate response to seeing that Kash Patel had been chosen?
I think that the story arc, if you had tried to pitch this to a movie producer of my life story, which is that I joined the FBI in 2016. I got thrown out of the FBI. I actually was kicked out Thanksgiving, November 2021. I was told I couldn't come back into the office over COVID mandates, and I wouldn't put, you know, a swab up my nose. And so going back to that time, which is only 3 years ago, that story arc has gone from being a guy in Las Cruces, New Mexico, who was a federal whistleblower and brought things to Congress, got kicked out of the Bureau, was attacked by the Bureau, has been investigated by the FBI, had Elon Musk and X Corporation go and defend me and the subpoenas that the FBI has gone after to try to jam me up, to knowing the next FBI director on a first name basis. That's an absurd story, and that doesn't probably sell in any Hollywood setting. I just don't know that anybody, they'd go, this is stupid, it's illogical, and it doesn't make any sense. So I have a lot of sense that there's a kind of God's hand in the world that we're seeing here. My buddies are much more optimistic today than they were a week ago. And even the Trump win has been sort of difficult to process because it changes everything. It throws it all on its head. It puts an agency that has been targeting Americans, you know, on the back foot now. And now it is trying to figure out how it's going to survive after all the things that it's been doing for the last 4 years.
Over the past few years, we've seen these unbelievable videos of FBI agents coming to people's houses over social media posts. I mean, it's been stunning. It's the targeting targeting of Americans at prayer meetings and so forth in church basements. It's been absolutely absurd. There's been so much corruption and rot inside the agency. And there are reports over the past few days now that after this announcement of Kash Patel, there's going to be a mass exodus. There's a lot of people leaving the agency or sort of mass quitting. Are you hearing that from your sources inside the FBI, that there are a lot of people that are just like scared now and they're just going to get out?
There's two pieces. There's two factions inside the FBI. I say there's probably three. There are people that are on the right that are relatively politically aware. There are people on the left that are politically aware and active. And then there are people in the middle that just wanted to do the job. And what I'm hearing is the people on the right are excited. You know, no, that makes sense. The people on the left are terrified. The people that are working in the headquarters units, whether they be in the intelligence end of things or whether they be actual sworn agents, absolutely worried about the future of the agency and what they're going to be able to do. And then I've also been getting this rumbling from folks who are the BRIC agents. BRIC agents are what the media likes to call rank and file. There's no such thing as rank and file because there's no rank and there's no file. The FBI has people that work the job. They are the people that are out on the BRICs and knocking on doors and doing the work. And they signed up to be FBI agents and to investigate crimes and not to jam up Americans over politics. And those people, especially the ones that haven't been doing that, have been resisting it and pushing back in their own ways very quietly without much fanfare, are excited. They're excited about getting back to the mission that they signed up to do. And I think there's this swell, kind of a quiet, probably not a majority, but a strong minority of people within the Bureau that are hoping that they get to do the job that they signed up to do, that they did for a while, that has been subverted, you know, much to their chagrin. And now they're getting maybe a chance to renew that as they end, and maybe they can actually retire from an agency that is credible and has the respect that it used to have.
Yeah, that's a tall order. So I wanted to ask you that. How difficult will it be to restore that? I mean, I can remember 1999, 2000, being at University of Pittsburgh and thinking maybe, you know, love the X-Files. Like maybe that would be a career path I'd like to go into, you know, do some great work. You know, help the American people do something. Maybe that's something I'd want to do. In the end, I, you know, became a journalist instead. But there was a prestige there, I think, in a lot of ways. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just being naive. But what kind of tall order is Kash going to face trying to restore the prestige of this agency?
Well, it's a big animal. The FBI is not monolithic, so that's one of the other kind of difficult things. We're talking about 55 different divisions, which are a lot like fiefdoms or little principalities that are run by a senior agent known as the special agent in charge. So you've got a bunch of these, they're senior executives. You've got the actual headquarters beast, which is a monster. And so it's a multi-headed, you know, multi-tentacled animal that needs to be wrangled in. And the org chart is also equally complex, but there are basically five branches within the FBI that need to be wrangled. There are plans to be able to handle that. And I've contributed some, I hope, at least some awareness of what that problem looks like. What he ends up doing is going to be his decision, obviously. And he's got lots of good advisors sharing how big this animal is. But it's not going to be an overnight fix. And anyone who thinks he's going to go in, and I know he said it kind of flippantly on the Sean Ryan show, saying, you know, we're going to go in on day one, we shut down FBI headquarters. And, you know, day two, the Hoover Building is a deep state memorial or museum.
Right,
and that's not realistic in government. I think that he was setting a sort of a tone as opposed to an actual policy. You've got five branches. They need to be wrangled individually. They each bring their own challenges. Some of them need to be disbanded completely, like probably the intelligence branch is a antithetical piece of an FBI sort of law enforcement mission. You need to have the counterterrorism mission focus on real counterterrorism and the actual threats that face our homeland, which are real and they exist. And the Biden administration made it worse by leaving a border open. I think that in the first year of the Trump administration, we're going to see something really scary, which is that we had a kind of an open gate allowing sort of the Trojan horses to sneak in. And I don't think that any of these people had the instinct that they were on a timeline to be able to execute whatever plans they might have. And so January 20th onward, when the gate closes and the border policy changes, the FBI's real mission of counterterrorism is going to be in stark focus, because all of the failures of 4 years prior and all of that opportunity cost of focusing on parrots at school boards or investigating Catholics for white supremacy or whatever other nonsense they were doing, and there was plenty of it, pro-lifers and, you know, praying and all this kind of thing, that is now going to be immediately has to be refocused. And it has to be pointed at the actual problem, which is that we have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of unknowns. And that means that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of potential real threats that brought capabilities into this country that shouldn't have been here. So that's going to be the thing that they have to be able to turn. So you've got to do two things. You've got to stop the rot. You've got to stop the corruption. And you have to not fail at the no-fail mission of keeping Americans safe from the things that they expect the FBI is actually doing. And that's a tall order. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be an uphill battle. It's a multi-person fight. And then the last thing is watching out that he doesn't get stabbed in the back from the inside, because there are plenty of loyalists to what we call the institution over the Constitution. They think that their loyalty is to the FBI. And guys like me and my friend Steve Friend and my buddy Garrett O'Boyle and many others that are in sort of our little suspendables network, we all understood that that was the problem. There are other loyalists to the Constitution that are still within the Bureau, but making sure that we can kind of identify them, move them into positions. And you're going to see something that's a cultural change, I hope. I hope that what they'll do is say, you don't need 15 years worth of garbage management experience in the FBI, because that entire culture is rotted. They've been promoting people that went along to get along, that were sort of yes men's. The joke that my buddies and I talk about is a GS-15 at the FBI is someone who's never said no to a bad idea. And then anybody beyond that, that's the top of the government scale. When they get into the SES, they obviously never said no. That's how you got to those positions. And that's why we had COVID tyranny. That's why we had sort of the priorities against things that are antithetical to the First Amendment. If that's the case, there's a lot of rot. And at the same time, there's a real mission that has to be carried out. It's a tall order. I think Cash is the guy to do it, though. He's got a unique background among any of the last three or four FBI directors that have been out there. He's seen more, done more, and he demonstrates more capabilities, in my opinion.
Yeah, John Bolton, warmonger John Bolton, coming out saying that this is a terrible decision. You've had, you know, CNN, of course, MSNBC, all saying that this is a terrible decision to put Kash Patel. When I hear those things, you know, my immediate response is, wow, you're on the right track. When John Bolton is critical, then you know you've made the right choice.
That's a ringing endorsement. Yeah, Andy McCabe is terrified. Yeah, so one of the things that I know is Andy McCabe, he came up in the New York field office for the FBI, which is really the most prominent of the FBI offices, the second being the Washington field office. And the story was is that he was kind of a generic guy. He looks like a bureau guy. And there were other people named Andy, and they were white guys that looked like Andy McCabe. And the joke was any Andy will do for the things that they needed him to do. He was not special or unique. He was a guy that said yes and climbed into the management track and went up and did that. When he's crying on CNN, you know, I want to make that my nightly toast is McCabe tears. And this new guy, Daniel Brunner, who's popped up, who's basically operates as an FBI agent for his whole life, then became somebody who's a government contractor doing the same job. This cozy relationship between the Bureau and private industry, letting people go into security, that is the rot. That is what the deep state looks like, is that they found homes for their buddies. They found like a way to capture industrial security, whether it be for the military industrial complex, the Raytheons, the General Electrics, they all find cush jobs. And now more recently in the media spaces, they're going to attack in media. So getting rid of that culture would be great. And having them just serve the American people again would be kind of a nice change.
I'll get you out of here on this, Kyle. Of course, you know Kash Patel's deep history, one of eight people responsible for uncovering the Russia collusion hoax and exposing that. Without Kash Patel, it's likely we might not know about that at all. And the spying that the Obama administration did on the Trump transition team, of course, and the administration was absolutely terrible and one of the greatest scandals, I think, in American history. How transparent do you think Cash will be with, say, JFK files, corruption within the Biden administration? Do you think that we're going to see a lot of open and sort of open the books moves from Kash Patel to the American people on some of these big stories.
Well, he's been out on potting this for the last couple of years, and in some ways he's been auditioning for this job. I have privately been hoping, kind of against hope, that he would get the nomination for the job as well. Not because of the things that he's been saying on podcasts, but because I just think he's a really good person. He's stepped up and done things to help out me, my family, and my buddies that nobody will hear about because he's very private about being a good human being. And a good human being looks at what the American people want to know and say, hey, these secrets belong to Americans. They're not going to compromise sources and methods. You're not going to compromise something from the 1960s and a 1963 operation that the CIA may or may not have been involved in. So how about we just open the books? He's been saying it. He says that there should be a 24/7, you know, running declassification office that constantly reveals it. The other thing that we pushed at, and I think he's sympathetic to, is that there needs to be real transparency in the FOIA process, which any journalist who's ever dealt with it realizes how frustrating it is that the law is written in one way, and then the reality is a completely different thing. They don't actually operate in the spirit of the law. They find these technicalities and letters to be hide behind. So I think he does have the instinct that Americans are looking for a real change. He's a regular guy. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's kind of like, he's a bro. He's a dude. He's a guy that you go and have a beer with, and it's not a fancy beer, and it's not a beer that other people can't afford. When I sat down with him at a Turning Point event, you know, he bought me a Coors Light. I don't even drink Coors Light. But he's a regular person in the way that you know that Chris Wray is not. Chris Wray made $9.5 million or $9.3 million before he became the FBI director and already thought of himself as sort of a political prince. Cash wears a T-shirt when he can. And I think that is a decidedly special change for the Americans. The last piece of it is he's also seen it from the public defender side of the coin, which is the other side of the legal system that so many Americans now after January 6th are more familiar with and are more empathetic to than previously. I think most conservatives probably didn't look at the legal system as a thing that needed to be wrangled in the same way, because they looked at it and they said, well, if you're on the wrong side of the law, you probably deserve it. And now we have this new moment in time, and it may be the gift, the silver lining of all the evil that January 6th prosecutions brought about, which is that people are empathetic in a way that they weren't previously. And having a former public defender who actually saw that as well, I think it's a special moment. I mean, I can't believe the left is upset about the first Indian American man taking over. He's the first non-white guy to take over the FBI. They should be cheering right. It if they actually believe in diversity and his background. But
well, it's great to hear from you, Kyle. And I share your enthusiasm on this. And I think this is a great day for the likes of you and other suspendables out there who put country first and who were raked through the coals as a result of it. Thank you so much, Kyle. Great to see you and really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it. All right. Well, we're going to get to your super chats here in a moment. We're going to dive in. So let us know where you're joining us from. We're going to do some Rumble rants and super chats in a second here. And just kind of open it up and have a little Q&A here towards the end of the show. Boy, it is like Mercury retrograde right now, man. So many freaking technology problems yeah, today. I know the other day someone's like, hey, it's Mercury retrograde. And then boom, it's like, everything starts happening, like computer logs, you can't log in, like sound quality problems, tech problems. Philip, you had all kinds of issues, right? I mean, holy smokes.
Yeah, I'm somehow trying to fix audio with duct tape at this point. Like, I don't even know what.
It's crazy. I mean, it really is. It's like, I don't know how often it happens, like twice a year or something when it messes with machines. I don't know what the heck's going on. Anyway, it's real. Whatever it is, it's real. I'm telling you. So we'll get to your super chats in a second. Well, Trump and his cabinet choices are now mostly in place, coming together, and we're all excited to see sort of a lot of these dream team players that are coming together to make America great again. But don't take your eye off the ball right now, because the current administration has caused a ton of damage. And as you can see, the billions that they're still funneling to Ukraine, the borders are still wide open. They are trying to get as many people into the United States and destroy this country as quickly as possible. Biden's terrible foreign policy, policies have also kept us on the edge of World War III. Right now, U.S. debt is still massive, still growing. Don't get me wrong, I do have high hopes for what Trump will be able to do here in his administration, but I also think things could get a lot worse. That's why Natalie and I recommend that you stay proactive and protect your hard-earned money with physical gold and silver. And actually, gold prices have dropped a little bit off of their all-time high, and silver prices still low comparatively speaking. And that's why our friends at Lear Capital can help you right now invest in precious metals. They'll show you how easy it is to move some of your savings or your retirement accounts into gold and silver, like we've transferred our self-directed IRAs. so that they're precious metals IRAs. So we're able to hold precious metals inside of our self-directed IRA. It's a really fabulous tool, and it allows that to grow tax-free if you structure it properly. So don't be complacent. Call them. Get on the phone with these guys and just have a conversation with them. They will help you out. They're an American company. They're a patriotic company located in the United States. You're not going to get outsourced to some Indian call center somewhere. You will talk to Americans. So call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com to get your free gold and silver wealth protection guides right now. There's no obligation, just free information. You've seen my interviews with founder Kevin DeMeritt. This company is solid, and it's all about education. They want to educate you first. Make sure you understand the ins and outs of this. With over 27 years of experience, thousands of five-star reviews, $3 billion in trusted transactions. It's the only company, by the way, with a 24-hour risk free purchase guarantee. That means you don't pay unless you're 100% guaranteed. Like, you decide to buy some silver, you buy some gold, you want it shipped to your house, store it in your gun safe, and then like 8 hours later, you're like, you know, maybe I want to invest in US dollars instead or pesos. You can call them and say, hey, I changed my mind, and they'll honor that. Call 1-800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. And you can also ask how you can get up to $15,000 in bonus gold or silver with qualifying purchases. I recommend you do this before the end of the year. Be prepared. Have some peace of mind this holiday season and into 2025 by investing in precious metals. All right. Well, Natalie just had to step out a second ago to pick up our little girl at school, elementary school. So she just had to step out a second ago. So the team is here. Grim is here. Philip is here. I think Grim is going to be on the microphone today for the first time in a while, which is great. David also having Mercury retrograde issues over at his studio. It's unbelievable. Like, Philip's having problems. David's having problems. I'm having problems. Hopefully Grim is not having problems. But let's do some Rumble rants first. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, for clarification, Grim won't be in audio. He'll just be pushing the button to make it show up on screen when we get to it.
Okay. Thank you. That way I don't have to say something and waiting for a response. Okay, let's see here. Wolverine Snicked, thank you for your Rumble rant, says it's the Ace and Gary Gay duo mobile. Talking about the Jaguar cars. Taz Lamina says, cows matter. Leave our farts alone. Welcome back to all the Redacted team. Thank you so much. And cows do matter. Meta Thoughts and Engineering, thank you for your Rumble rant, says, welcome back from your holiday to a world of absurd realities. Here's a $5 dues. Use it before nuclear war breaks out. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. All right, let's jump over to some super chats now. You can throw them up on the screen here, Grim, and I'll... Ooh, it's right there. It's right there.
That's not right.
See, again, I'm telling you, what's going on here? When is De Niro leaving the United States? Okay. I don't know if that's a super chat, but let me see if I can find these super chats.
Try throwing another one, Grim. See if it'll populate the graphic.
Nope, it's not. Nope, looks like they're going up on the middle of the screen. Okay.
That's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah, I can't even find them in. Oh my God, the YouTube back end is awful. Can't even do that. Melissa Harper, thank you for your $100 super chat. Sending love to the Redacted community, and then my browser just crashed.
I'm trying to call it up on mine. I might be able to read them out.
What is going on in this world? It's crazy. Yeah. All right, I got some here up on the screen. Flip Polizzi, $10 super chat, says, hey, Natalie and Clayton, I'm glad you're back. Without you guys, my day is off. I watched the interview with Tucker, enjoyed it, and I was shocked at Trump picked him. I love Cash. He is a badass. Me too. I mean, it was so exciting on Saturday when he announced Cash Patel. I'm like, love all you guys. Keep spreading the truth, Motocross Girl says. Keg says 2A is not, say it with me, practical, and because of that, the government is clearly not deterred by it. Bobby's Gems says, thanks for having Ashton Forbes on the show. Hope you mention him to Tucker. Would be great to have the ideas out there so someone can see they actually work. Talking about zero point energy, and all of that, free etheric energy and all of that. And we talked about MH370 with Ashton. Ashton's going to be back on the show here in hopefully a couple of weeks. Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't like to inundate Tucker with guests. You know, I have a lot of people, because I'm good friends with Tucker, I have a lot of people that reach out to me. They're like, hey, can you get me on Tucker's show? Can you do, you know, and it's like, you don't want to abuse a friendship like that. And so I try not to do that. You know, sometimes I will try to connect people with his team and go through that. But, you know, it's really ultimately up to them whether they book a guest on his show or not, you know. So anyway.
All right. I have I have super chats up. I can read them off if you want me to.
Okay, sure. We just pop them up here.
All right. So I can't pop them up, but I can just read them to you.
Oh, I can read them too. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see them now. I've been reading them. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
Bobby's Gems pardoned him so Trump doesn't have to like Hillary. Keg says, the proof is every 4 years, $10 super chat, since 1776, the citizens lose rights and government gains them. The proof is every 4 years, you all end up in the same cycle of being complacent, docile, and clueless. Under Elon and Trump, Keg says, the government has rebranded controlling you under free speech and 4D chess. Hey, you bring up a great point, Keg. No human being should be held up as like a god, right? Elon Musk, Trump, etc., right? Elon Musk has this uneasy relationship with the government contracts and defense contracts. Like, I want to keep these people at arm's length. Like, so your Starlink contracts, your rocket ships and all of this, SpaceX and everything. What sort of like deep state contacts do you have in the military industrial complex? Like, we shouldn't be holding Elon Musk up as any kind of a saint. Okay. We shouldn't be holding Donald Trump up as any kind of a saint. They're human beings. And so, yes, we should be questioning everything. Like, I want to know why almost all of Trump's cabinet, have like an Israel first policy position. It's a good question. You can get mad at me if you want, but it bothers me. Why was Matt Gaetz the only one who didn't take money from APEC, the Israel lobby? And he's also the one that's now had to withdraw and no longer a part of it. So, I have serious questions about it. And are they playing some sort of 4D chess here? I mean, I hope Trump is able to do great things for this country and get us back on a steady footing again, make the country safe. But don't give these people a pass. Just because you're like a Republican or just because you voted a certain way, these people are not saints. We've got to hold these people up, in that way. Motocross Girl is a psychic medium and says, as a psychic medium, I'm worried about World War III. Well, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. By the way,
no.
There's individuals who've accurately predicted what's about to happen with this alien invasion that's supposed to be happening on like December 4th. Like, why are we seeing all of these UFO sightings over the past week all around the world over nuclear facilities? Like, what the hell's happening here? I'm worried about World War III. You don't even need to be a psychic medium for that. Go ahead, Philip.
Oh, that was exactly the point I was going to make. I'm like, I'm just a dude sitting in front of a computer and I'm worried about it. And I don't even know what I'm going to, I don't even know what I'm going to have for dinner tonight, let alone, you don't know the future.
Exactly. Let's see. DJ Liquid Smooth. Send Trump to jail. $8 trillion spent on his lockdown and his warp speed. Hurt many people, including my family members. He renewed emergency orders 3 times. DJ Liquid Smooth. Yeah, I mean, again, Project Warp Speed. That was Trump's, right? So hold these people accountable. Again, these people are not gods. In the same way that you should hold Biden accountable, right? Operation Warp Speed. And I think that's a really weird blind spot for Trump, is still like kind of praising his COVID response. Like, really? If I had Trump on the show, that would be one of the first questions I'd ask him, is about Operation Warp Speed and about trusting these and giving these sort of blanket immunity to these drug manufacturers that we know what happened. We know what happened with these vaccines, right? Thank you for that, DJ Liquid. Let's see. Only Love Prevails gifted 5 redacted memberships. Thank you guys so much for doing that. I appreciate that. Let's see. Kiwi Lass says, and thank you for your New Zealand $20. They're running scared of what's coming. They need to drop their names now before the hammer comes down on them. I think referring to what's about to happen under the Trump administration, exactly. Convict, deport, and permanently refuse entry, Stephen says. Convict, deport, and permanently... Yeah, that would be amazing to the nearly million of them that, of course, are... The nearly 1 million of them that are here illegally and who are felons, rapists, murderers. Like, those aren't numbers just, you know, people are like, oh, that's just Trump throwing out numbers. No, no, no. These are numbers now that have been verified. Close to 1 million of them that are in the United States. Convicted felons. M, thank you for your super chat. It says, reading Blood in the Water. Thanks, Clayton. Remember State of Terror by Thomas Suarez. I do have that on my list. M, did you also make a recommendation to me the other day for a book? I'm loving this book, by the way, that I'm reading right now. Well, I'm reading a couple of books. I'm reading The Plot Against the President by Lee Smith, the true story of how Congressman Devin Nunes uncovered the biggest political scandal in U.S. history. Natalie and I saw that in an interview with Kash Patel, and then she went and bought it, and now we're both reading it. But that's not the book. The other book that I'm reading that I think, M, you recommended to me, and I love it, and all men should read this book. If you're watching right now, read this book called Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secret of a Man's Soul. And I love it. Really talks about how we've been feminized. Like, men have just been, there's been a massive move to feminize men, like to keep them from being wild at heart, for getting their knees scraped, from wanting to go on adventures, from wanting to do the things that make us men. There's been this move over the past couple of decades to really feminize. Even in church, he makes the point that go to any church and you're just going to see a lot of men who are just sort of like beat down and being and told to be like, and, you know, basically told to be like women in a lot of ways. It's an eye-opening book. It's really an eye-opening. It's really fascinating. And I'm really enjoying it. So if that was you that recommended that, I appreciate it. If not, then whoever did recommend that book to me, it's called Wild at Heart by, let me pull up the author's name here. I'd like to get the author of the show on, John Eldridge. It's really good. It's really good. Yeah. Sorry about that. Got sidetracked. Lawman Land has a manuscript, Azov from Ukraine to USA. Thank you for that. Nice to see you, Lawman Land. Appreciate that. Shackletoe09 says, rules for thee, but not for me, referring to Biden and the pardon as well. Did I miss any here? I hope, hope I'm not missing. It's hard for me today to find these guys, so forgive me. Trying to flip through these here. What's with his choice for the CDC lady? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, again, not all of these are perfect, right? Bobby's Gems says, I like the guy, Trump, but he'd never admit a loss. Right. Is he going to admit Operation Warp Speed? Like, if you confront him and show him the numbers of people who've died as a result of Operation Warp Speed at the hand of these manufacturers, like, is he going to admit to it? I don't know. The only thing I've heard him admit to, and what he admits is his greatest mistake from his first presidency, his first term, was surrounding himself with deep state swamp rats, which is not so much like admitting a mistake. It's kind of like he's still kind of pushing the blame on those guys, right? It's not really like he's admitting he made a mistake, but he is conciliatory in that that's his biggest blind spot from his first presidency, is doing that. Andrew Rawlings, warp speed, stop the 10-year lockdowns and FEMA camps for those who refuse. Trump has always opposed mandates, lesser of two evils. There you go. And 12th son of Israel, thank you for your $10 super chats. And Motocross Girl, who is the psychic medium, says, I get visions of bombs and nuclear warheads hitting the United States. I'd like to leave it on a positive note, but thank you, Motocross Girl. That's terrifying. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but this is all, a lot of this has been predicted. This is all, a lot of this has been seen. So I think You know, this is why, you know, people like to make fun of preppers, but I think it's very important that we protect our families and do what we can to stock up, make sure we've got like radiation pills on hand. You know, so I know it sounds cliche and it's like, well, what's going to happen if a nuclear bomb hits? Will we be safe? I don't know. Find out in your town where there's bomb shelters. Find out where you can make sure that you can store food, and do whatever you can to protect your family. The Biden administration seems hell bent on bringing us into World War III. So, I think when you hear stuff like this, it's terrifying. Anything else? Did we get anything else? Motocross Girl, thank you. Says timelines can change, but we have to spread the light. That's right. Hugs to all of you. Slava Ukraine, Slava cocaine, says Professor. Oh, yeah, that's Zelensky for you. Hello, Natalie and Clayton from Malaga, Spain. Thank you so much. Thumper Rabbit. French Citroen cars had steering wheels like that. I'm referring to those Jaguar cars as well. John Cavallini says, Wild at Heart is a great book. I recommend it highly. Yeah, it's a great book for men. And actually, women should read it too to understand like how men have been so emasculated by not only our government's school system, but also the women in our lives. Like, we're told that like your whole focus needs to be on like, you know, caring for a woman. That needs to be your whole focus as a man. And men just abandon everything that they're passionate about. And they're told to like, no, you can't go ride that motorcycle. You can't do that. You can't do all of these things because, well, that's dangerous. And you got to bottle everything up inside and just work some sort of a corporate job and, you know, not live your life with adventure. And the things that you're passionate about. And it doesn't mean like hang gliding or parachuting. It just means doing what you want to do. You know, like if you want to become a woodworker and become a tradesman and spend your days like making things with your hands, like don't listen to other people tell you you can't do that. Do it. And so anyway, I could talk about this book all day. It's really good. Okay. And it also has quite a Christian bent. So if that bothers you, or if you're, you know, not religious, or if you, you know, then that may bother you. I don't know. But, you know, it's just interesting for me from a male perspective. So anyway. All right, guys. Before we get out of here today, I do want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because the Fed, of course, dropped interest rates. So you need to call our friends at American Financing today. Now is the perfect time to consolidate any debt you might have, reduce your monthly expenses. Under this Biden administration, it's been brutal. A lot of us have been forced to use credit cards because of the ridiculous prices at grocery stores. You know, power and even childcare costs have skyrocketed. The debt is really expensive, with credit card rates being insanely high, like over 20%. But, you know, with mortgage rates dropping, now is the time to wipe that debt out. American Financing is helping homeowners just like you save over $800 a month on average. They're even closing some in as little as 10 days. As if you start today, you may delay two mortgage payments. There's no upfront fees. To find out how much you can save, call American Financing today, 866-890-8434. That's 866-890-8434. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. All right, hopefully we worked out all the tech bugs, or we'll have them all worked out by tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but are you guys in the chat? Let me know if you guys watching right now, the tens of thousands of you, are you guys also having like tech issues? Like your phone not working, computer not working, like, I don't know, your Ring doorbell not working? Let me know in the chat. Are you guys experiencing that? Saif says, I missed Redacted News the past week. Thank you, Natalie and Clayton. Thank you. Yeah, we took a little time off for the Thanksgiving holiday. So it was nice to sleep in a little bit, read books, and just kick back and play some. Let's see.
Yeah, I think I put about 60 hours of Unicorn Overlord over our break.
That's great. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Of course, I got sick and was like couch bound for about 4 days, so I had nothing else to do. But yeah, it was that was a fun game.
A lot of people in the chat saying phone not working, Computer went down a few minutes ago. Lots of people saying, yep, tech issues, Wi-Fi problems, solar storm issues, something's going on with their phone, all sorts of issues, you know. No issues in the Netherlands, might be cosmic ray related, Arnon says. Yeah, a lot of people saying it. So I'm not the only one. Bobby's Gem says, yes, my phone charger just broke. See, there you go. Telling you something's going on, whatever it is, I don't know, but I just know it's happening to all of us at the same time. Could be. Anyway, either that or the deep state doesn't want us back doing this show here before Christmas. Who knows what it is, but I think it's Mercury retrograde. Thank you guys. We're back here. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So join us tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Set that reminder, subscribe for free, and all of that. By the way, our new redacted community, we just now decided to move away from Locals and move over to Patreon. Yes, we moved over to Patreon officially. We just had so many problems with Locals, and so many people were complaining about it. We tried. We really gave them a chance. For years, we've given them a chance on Locals. So we are officially moving our redacted community. If you go to redacted.inc and you want to become a Patreon supporter of our show, we're supported by you guys and the very few sponsors that we have here on the show. You can do that by just going to redacted.inc and then click on the community button there, and you can join us. We have different tiers set up in Patreon. We'll have exclusive content in there as well. We are reworking everything as we head into 2025 inside of Patreon. It allows us to actually send out merchandise as well, so we're able to send out different levels of merch at different tiers for free. So it'll just be sent right to you, right to your house. You pick the size, like you want the hoodie that's this large or whatever, it'll be sent right to your house. So all of that is being reworked right now. But again, redacted.inc if you want to join our community. Okay, everyone, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night, everyone.